Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 48th week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Verse number 3 through 5, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother and to the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus speak ye unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell thee, my lord, that I might find grace in thy sight. Now Jacob was humbling himself. He's about to see Esau, his brother, and been gone 20 years. Remember last time they met? He quote unquote stole his birthright and his blessings, and Esau said, I'm going to kill him. So Jacob wanted to, he literally humbled himself. Notice he called Esau Lord, and he said, thy servant. He placed himself under Esau because he mentioned in verse number 5 where he had these oxes and asses and flocks, sheep and all, men servants and women. He wasn't bragging. What he was doing was he wanted Esau to know that he wasn't coming to claim any part of his inheritance, of Esau's inheritance. That I'm not coming to sponge off of you. Okay? All for last time Esau saw Jacob when he was leaving, Jacob didn't have nothing but the clothes on his back, so to speak. He just left, didn't have nothing. And here he is coming back 20 years later. He's a very, very wealthy man. So it wasn't like he was bragging, look at me. No, he wanted Esau to know, listen, when I'm coming, I can take care of myself. I'm not going to live off of your grace and all. And then verse number 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and look at this, and he also cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. My, did his countenance change. Okay? His servants went and said, Esau's coming, but he's bringing 400 guys with him. And what's the first thing that Jacob thought? He's coming to kill me. He's coming to kill me. Because look in verse number 7. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Well, isn't it amazing? Just a little bit earlier, he just saw a host of angels encamping about him. And God said, I'll be with you. Aren't we strange people? We know that God's with us. We know God will protect us. And then when something comes in our life, we become fearful. We become distressed. And that's how Jacob was. He saw God, all these host of angels. God said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. He promised to get him into the promised land. He knew that God had promised him to be the father of many nations. He's going to bless his seed as the number of the stars. Went through Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob. He knew he was the promised son. But yet he was afraid and he was greatly distressed. What Jacob should have said is this. I don't know if Esau is coming in peace or if he's coming in war. I hope for peace, but if he comes in war, well, God will protect me. What he should have said instead of being greatly afraid and distressed. Well, in verses 7 and 8, he took matters in his own hands. Instead of trusting God, he took matters in his own hands. Look, he divided the people and the animals into two groups. Again, let's just breeze through this part. We see 7 and 8. He divided them into two groups. And that way, he could split up his properties. If Esau comes, at least half of my people will be escaped. And half of them will be, slaughtered. I have half of my inheritance, And that's why he divided it into two groups. Obviously, he wasn't trusting God right then. Well, but in verse number 9 through 21, look at this again. After he divided into two groups, then he started to pray. And I wrote a note as I was writing these things down. first he was fearful and he was distressed. Then he divided his flock of animals and the people, obviously, into two different groups. And then finally he did the right thing. He prayed. Has it finally come down to that? You know, even in our life, instead of beginning with prayer, we try everything we know to humanly possible to rectify the situation. And then we pray, God bless what I'm doing here, instead of starting with prayer. Well, we'll give Jacob credit anyway. At least he prayed, and it was a prayer of humility. He prayed for protection. He prayed for deliverance. He did the right thing. He finally went to the Lord in prayer. Again, I wrote a note here. If you can't pray as you can, pray as you can't. Let that one sink in. Some of y'all may get that, some of you won't. If you can't pray as you can, then pray as you can't. What do you mean, preacher? Pray. You know, sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. We don't know what to ask. We don't even know where to begin. So if you can't pray as you can, pray as you can't. Lord, just help me. You know my situation much better than me. And that's what Jacob had done. And after rising from prayer, Jacob decided it would be proper to send Esau a substantial gift in verses 14 and 15. When you total those number animals, there's 580 animals that would show the vast wealth of Jacob. So he decided, well, he's coming. What I'm going to do now, before he was going to divide them into two groups. Okay. Then he prayed. He says, here's what I'm going to do instead of dividing them into two groups. I'm going to give them a bunch of my animals. 580 total, which is a huge amount, showing his amount. By the way, this was not a bribe, but an expression of goodwill and conciliation is the reason he's bringing these animals, going to give these animals to Esau. Because look in verse number 13. He lodged there. He took of that which came to his brother a present. It was a gift for Esau, his brother. Verse number 18. Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It's a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he is behind us. And then in verse number 20. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterwards I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So this wasn't so much of a bribe as it was a way of reconciliation. He calls him a present, a thing of goodwill. Well, we get to the good parts, okay? Verse number 22. And he rose up that night. He could not sleep. He could not sleep. And he took his two wives and his two women, servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. Let me just read in verse number 23. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. In other words, everything that he had. Everything. He sent them over. Jacob sent his family and all his possessions over the river. And then verse number 24. Jacob was left alone. Before we get any farther, Jacob was left alone with God, and this is exactly where God wanted him. He's been with his family. He's been with all the kids. He's been with all these men servants and women servants, all the animals. You know, God can't do anything with you till you get alone with him. Let that sink in. You got to get alone with God. Get away from all the things that are going on in your life and get alone with God. And that's what he did in verse number 24.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more great teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.